الحمد لله الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه فاللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا وشفيعنا وكريمنا ووسيلتنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز لكن الذين اتقوا ربهم لهم غرف من فوقها غرف مبنية تجري من تحتها الأنهار وقال الله عز وجل في مقام آخر أولئك يجزون الغرفة بما صبروا ويلقون فيها تحية وسلاما وقال الله عز وجل في شأن حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله Complete praise, total submission and all perfection is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our most benevolent, most generous, most compassionate and forgiving Lord. And salutations and peace and blessings be upon His noble, beloved, prestigious, most elevated and honorable messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon his pure and noble family, and upon the illustrious companions, and upon all of those who follow in the footsteps of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. My respected elders, dear brothers, sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower upon you all on this blessed and noble and sacred day of Jumu'ah. And may our attendance become a means for our purification, our guidance, our success in this dunya and also in the hereafter. And may we all be raised on the day of Qiyamah amongst the Siddiqeen, the Nabiyeen, the Mursaleen and the Saliheen, insha'Allahul Aziz. Ameen. Alhamdulillah, we've had a very fruitful and beautiful month of Ramadan within which we competed with one another to grasp as much as we could from the mercy, from the forgiveness, from the compassion and the pardon of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now in the month of Shawwal, we must continue to persevere and continue to remain committed in the way of Allah azza wa jal. Generally in life, most of us go through many, many different hardships, whether they be financial, whether they be emotional, or physical. We all have certain challenges presented to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lifetime. But from time to time, in spite of all of those hardships, we also need to be reminded that inna ma'al usri yusra. With each difficulty, with each trial and tribulation, there is also yusr. There is ease, there is comfort, there is yusr from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is also an ultimate prize from Allah Azza wa Jal. And the prize that we have been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is none other than the prize of Jannah, the prize of paradise, the prize of the final and the eternal abode, which is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in Jannah, this is no ordinary place. Within Jannah itself, there are many, many levels that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for His true believers. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in one particular narration mentioned that there are at least 100 levels in Jannah. And between each level is the distance between the earth and the heavens. And whether we understand the earth and the heavens to be the earth and our outer atmosphere, or the earth and our galaxy, or the earth and the entire universe and what is beyond, that is entirely up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it is a reward reserved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His most beloved servants, those who truly worship Him and those who persevere in spite of the difficulties in their life. So today, inshallah al-aziz, we'll talk about one of the Jannah levels, not 100, because we'll be here perhaps for an entire year. But rather, we'll just talk about one particular and specific level. And this level connected to the entire month of Ramadan, and this level is also connected to a particular verse of the Quran, which is Ibadur Rahman, which inshallah al-aziz will be doing a series on for the next 8 weeks, inshallah. So I invite you all to participate in that circle of Ibadur Rahman every Monday, inshallah, and we'll find out who are the Ibadur Rahman. But today, this particular one specific level is called the Al-Ghuraf, which is the lofty, elevated palaces and mansions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reserved for Ibadur Rahman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He reminds us that لَكِنِ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ لَهُمْ غُرَفٌ مِّن فَوْقِهَا غُرَفٌ مَّبْنِيَّةٌ تَجْرِي مِّن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ وَعَدَ اللَّهِ لَا يُخْلِفُ اللَّهُ الْمِيعَادُ. That those people who are truly aware and conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have acquired this great sense of taqwa, and the whole month of Ramadan was what? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you become righteous and pious and more dedicated and focused with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for these people of taqwa, what has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared? لَهُمْ غُرَفٌ مِّن فَوْقِهَا غُرَفٌ, that there is lofty mansions upon lofty mansions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared. But palaces upon palaces which are upright, which are firm and which are sound, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the architect and the designer and the furnisher of. تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ, and through which the beautiful rivers of Jannah flow. وَعَدَ اللَّهِ لَا يُخْلِفُ اللَّهُ الْمِيعَادِ. This is indeed a great promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah azza wa jal never fails in His promise. Unlike the people in the dunya, whether it be our employer, our friend or family members, and the promises that we make, we always fall short in those promises. But the promise of Allah azza wa jal, wa'adallahi haqqa, is haqq. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, that there is one level in Jannah. It is called the level of ghuraf, which is for those people of taqwa, those people who will have these lofty mansions and palaces. أُولَٰئِكَ يُجْزَوْنَ الْغُرْفَةَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا وَيُلَقَّوْنَ فِيهَا تَحِيَّةً وَسَلَامًا. These people, these select people of the Ibadur Rahman, will be given this particular maqam, this level within Jannah called Al-Ghuraf. Why? Due to their sabr, due to their patience, due to their perseverance. And within the month of Ramadan, this is all that we showed within our actions, externally and internally, that we were patient for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with everything that was halal, and similarly with everything that was haram. And this is the patience that we carry forth for the remaining year. And this is the taqwa that we also carry forth, and we build upon the taqwa, and we build upon the sabr that we gained in the month of Ramadan. So, أُولَٰئِكَ يُجْزَوْنَ الْغُرْفَةَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا, because of your patience. وَيُلَقَّوْنَ فِيهَا تَحِيَّةً وَسَلَامًا, and they'll be greeted by all of the beautiful angels within Jannah with a beautiful greeting of salam, of eternal peace, of eternal bliss and serenity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, and they will remain and abide within Jannah for eternity. حَسُنَتْ مُسْتَقَرًا وَمُقَامًا. Subhanallah, what a beautiful and final abode and gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is specifically, after mentioning the Ibadur Rahman, the special servants of Rahman, and we will, inshallah, as I mentioned, unpack those characteristics in the 8-week series, inshallah, starting on Monday. But these are the people, the Ibadur Rahman, who will be rewarded with this specific level in Jannah called Al-Ghuraf. So just the way that we look up into the heavens and we see the beautiful stars at night on a clear night, and we see them and we become mesmerized. We look at the beauty, we look at the majesty of these stars, even though they are billions and trillions of miles away, but they are shining bright and they're beautifying the night. This is how the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam describes it, the people of Jannah. So you're within Jannah, but these people within Jannah will be looking up to this level of Al-Ghuraf and looking up to these people and say, look at how beautiful and majestic these people are. Look at the maqam that they have received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How did they receive this particular maqam? It is because they became the Ibadur Rahman. And inshallah we'll go through that as I mentioned. But the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, in this regard, he talks about how these people attain this level in Jannah called Al-Ghuraf. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam in Sunan Tirmizi mentioned that inna fil jannati ghurafan yura zahiruha min batiniha wa batinuha min zahiriha. That within Jannah itself there is a level called Al-Ghuraf. And the people from within can see everything external, and from people from outside can see everything internal. What does that mean? It means the transparency of that particular level, the beauty and the majesty of that level, like diamonds, like pearls, they will be showcased throughout the entire Jannah, that look at this particular level of Jannah itself, which is called Al-Ghuraf. So the Sahaba Ikram, when they heard this particular statement from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, they remained quiet, because they knew that we should not ask too many questions. But they amongst the Sahaba Ikram, there was a Bedouin. And the Bedouin were very, very blunt. They would ask whatever they want. They didn't really care about these sensitivities. So a Bedouin, he stood up and he said, Ya Rasulallah, liman here? Ya Rasulallah, Messenger of Allah, who is this level of Jannah for? Who will attain this level of Ghuraf in Jannah? And the Sahaba Ikram became very happy, because now the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would explain how to attain this particular level in Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam mentions, أَعَدَّهَا اللَّهُ لِمَنْ أَطَابَ الْكَلَامُ وَأَدَامَ الصِّيَامُ وَأَطْعَمَ الطَّعَامُ وَصَلَّى بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامُ. Four specific and particular characteristics the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam described, that if these are the people of these qualities, and when they have these qualities, not just in the month of Ramadan, but no, through the entire year, those qualities are imbibed within their heart, and it permeates through their actions and through their soul, that this is who they truly are. They have these four beautiful qualities. These are the people who will be given this place in Jannah called Al-Ghuraf. Allah Azza wa Jal has prepared for those people who speak pleasantly, those people who provide food, those people who observe frequent fasting, and those people who pray during the night when others are asleep. So today, inshallah, very quickly, we'll unpack this one specific hadith in relation to Al-Ghuraf. And then inshallah, in the 8-week series, we'll learn a bit more of Ibadur Rahman. So the first thing the Prophet ﷺ mentions, that if you want to be from the people of Ghuraf, you want to be in this place where everybody is looking up towards, where you have these lofty palaces and mansions, where you have this great maqam of Jannatin tajri min tahtiha al-anhar, where you have this maqam of the rivers flowing between your homes, where you have the angels coming and giving you salam. What is the first thing that you need to do? You need to speak pleasantly. This is the first characteristic that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam gives. That kalima tayyiba, a beautiful, good word, good speech, a pleasant speech. And this is a form of sadaqah that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in various other ahadiths. A good, kind, and pleasant word is a form of charity that you give to other people. But ask yourselves, in this day and age, how hard is it for us to say nice things to each other? It's very hard, because the ego, the arrogance, and so many other things come in our way. We don't want to praise other people for their success, for their business, or how they look, or their attire, or how they are doing in their life, or just generally when they take care of themselves and their groom, or anything else. We find it very, very hard to say good things, even though saying good words, saying a kalima tayyiba, is a form of sadaqah, it is a form of charity, and it is very easy for us to do. Ask yourself, when was the last time you said something nice and pleasant to your wife? You eat the food and that's it. because it's an expectation. When was the last time your children sat down with you and really hugged you and embraced you and said something nice to you? Because when your children do that, it melts your heart. But that just goes to show how rarely our children actually do that. How rarely we go and say nice and pleasant words to our parents. We're always bickering and arguing and debating and doing so many things. Evil words are cheap and they are easy for us to spout out from our mouths. But good words are very, very difficult. So evil words, we need to really stay away from those and say good words, which is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many times do we always, well, especially me, in my particular role, I always hear complaints from women all the time. Imam Sahib, my husband is such and such. He's saying such and such, X, Y, and Z. And vice versa as well. Sometimes the husbands are also complaining about their wives that they are such and such. But if you think about it, when you go home, you find a house which is clean. You find a food which is cooked. You find that your kids are washed and they're prepared and they're ready, that their homework is done. But no, instead of going in, we expect all of these things, but rather we should go in and do what the Prophet ﷺ would do. Appreciate every single thing that his wife would do. And he would go in and say, Jazakillah. He would say, Barakillah. He would say, Subhanallah. He would say all of these du'as. The husband should say all of these things. It's just a kind word. It's a pleasant word. And it will make the day of your wife. It will make the day of your parent. It will make the day of any other person. You as an employer, if you go to your employees and just say a pleasant word, they will work even harder, even more diligently, even more sincerely, because they know that they have been seen and they have been appreciated for the work that they do. But we often fall short in this regard of just saying a nice word to one another. Why? We just think, oh, it's just expected. This is what they should be doing. But no, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. Your wife is doing your ihsan. She's taking care of you and your children and your home. This is ihsan that she does. And therefore, you need to repay that ihsan similarly in a pleasant and a kind and a generous word. So when your wife is treating you with respect, with honor, and taking care of you and your family, in return, we must give our wives sadaqah. We must speak to them in a kind manner and say, may Allah Azza wa Jal reward you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honor you and protect you. Tell me, when was the last time, or perhaps, when was the first time you went home and said any of these things to your wife? Kalimat tayyib, a pleasant word. For those people who are always pleasant in their kalam, this is the reward that they will receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أُولَٰئِكَ يُجْزَوْنَ الْغُرْفَةَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا. And a wife as well, similarly, when your husbands come home, they should be saying, welcome home, my dear husband. I was looking forward to seeing you. And in spite of all of the difficulties that the man may have faced during the day, they will forget all of their worries and all of their troubles because they have been greeted with a pleasant and a kind word. But if the list of complaints are ready, your husband, your dad did this, your mother did this, your sister-in-law did this, X, Y, and Z, then obviously then it will affect the entire evening. So kalimat tayyib has a huge and a profound impact on the mentality of other people and how we approach and engage with one another. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us, to be pleasant in our speech to our brothers, to our neighbors, to our sisters, to our spouse, to our partners, to our family, and especially towards our parents as well. The closer you are to people, the more deserving they are of your kind and your pleasant words. How many times is it that we are very horrible or nasty and very dismissive towards our own family members? We go out and we say, Gigi, Gigi. No, we got a smile on our face and we Gigi, Joa, Koji, Joa, whatever. And we're ready to do everything, bend backwards just to please that other person. And we have the best of speech for our employer, the best of speech for the ghair, but we don't give the best of speech to our spouse, to our partner, to our family members, and especially towards our parents. And this is a very, very important thing, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us, commanded us, instructed us, directed us to speak to our parents in the most noble of manners, in the most beautiful of manners. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Speak to them in the best word, in the most kind and generous words. How gently do we speak to our parents? How pleasantly do we speak to our parents? How dismissive are we towards our parents as children? No matter what your age may be, and even now, and no matter how old you are, how many children are rolling their eyes at their parents parents, you know, kuch pata hai ko nahi, pendu, backwards, you know, uncultured, uneducated. We have these concepts within our mind, the way that we address our parents, rolling our eyes, slamming our doors, and yelling and answering back to our parents. This is what children are doing. They are not doing the kalam tayyib, which the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam instructed. They are not speaking to their parents in the most kind and generous words which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded. They do not fear Allah azza wa jal. They are committing a major sin. So whether it is with your wife, whether it is with your husband, your children, your employer, your friends, your neighbors, and especially your parents, we are mandated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam to always speak pleasantly, gently, kindly. Just look at our beautiful deen. How do we greet those that we know and those that we do not know? We say, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We say, Barakallahu feek. We say, Yarhamukallah when somebody sneezes. We say, MashaAllah when we see something pleasant. We say all of these beautiful greetings, pleasant, kind words. It doesn't cost you a penny to say all of these things. So why is it that we do not speak pleasantly, which is one of the first things in the criteria for us to be entered and admitted into the gardens of paradise and to receive that particular maqam, which is called al-ghurf. So kind and pleasant speech. This is what the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has commanded us. Prophet alayhi wa sallam, once he saw a sahabi who said, Assalamu alaykum. And he said, Ashra, 10 for him. And another sahabi said, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Then he said, 20 for him. Then another person came and he said, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Then the Prophet alayhi wa sallam said, 30. And the sahaba akram asked, Ya Rasulullah, why did you say 10? Why did you say 20? Why did you say 30? He said, for the first person who just said, Assalamu alaykum, 10 hasanat for him. The one who said, Assalamu Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, 20 for him. And the one who said wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, 30 hasanat for him. This is the reward of being pleasant in our speech. And we know that the difference between heaven and hell is just one hasana. So why is it that we are not the best in our speech, the best in our kalam? Because we have got the best kalam, we have the best deen, we have the best nabi with the best akhlaq. But what's happened to our akhlaq? What's happened to our guftugu? What's happened to our pleasant speech? Where has it gone? And because of this and our lacking in our pleasant speech, we will not be able to enter into the gardens of paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, kiraman katibin ya'lamuna ma taf'alun, that you have two angels, kiram, noble angels, that are on your shoulders, and they are writing down and recording every single thing that you do. Imagine if your father was in front of you, and in front of your father, you tell your father, write down this swear word, and this swear word, and this back thing, and this backbiting, and this gossip, and this slander and this abuse and all of these things. How ashamed would your father be of writing those things down that his son or his daughter is saying? Do you not realize that you have two noble angels on your shoulders, and you are forcing the angel on your left to write down all of the unpleasant speech that you make every single day, all of the lying and the swearing and the backbiting that you do every day? Do you not fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do you not fear the angel on the day of Qiyamah? Say, Allah, he forced me to write all of these things. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا, I told you to say good kind words and generous words. قَوْلًا حَسَنًا, to say good beautiful words. So if you want to enter into Jannah, we have to really rectify our tongue and our speech and make our speech pleasant. The way that our Quran is beautiful, our speech should be beautiful. The way our Azkar is beautiful, our speech should be beautiful. The way our Nabi is beautiful, our Kalam should be beautiful to all of humanity, and especially those who are near and dear to us. So this is the first thing that the person who has beautiful Kalam will be receiving that place in Jannah, which is called Al-Ghuraf. Then the second thing that Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentions, that the one Adam as-Siyam, that the one who fasts on a regular basis, not just in the month of Ramadan, but outside the month of Ramadan, we have the sixth fast of Shawwal, which is the equivalent to fasting the entire year. Imagine just fasting these 6 days in Shawwal, you are fasting the entire year, and every year of your life, you fast those 6 days for your entire life. you have been fasting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we discussed in the month of Ramadan, fasting just 3 days every single month will be the equivalent for you fasting the entire month. And fasting 36 days in a year will be the equivalent for you fasting the entire year. 3 times 10 is 30. This is the hasanat that you receive just for fasting 3 days. 36 times 10 is 360. This is how much reward you receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So dear brothers and sisters, we are all, alhamdulillah, still in a habit of fasting in the month, fasting post Ramadan. Therefore, we must continue with our commitment with the 6 fasts of Shawwal, or continue at least with fasting the 3 days in any Islamic month, which is the 13th, the 14th, or 15th of every Islamic month, as prescribed by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, or at least Mondays and Thursdays, or any other day. But do fast, because those who maintain their siyam after the month of Ramadan are those people who will receive the ghuraf from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Jannah cannot just be achieved just by walking in. You have to work hard. You have to earn Jannah with your kalam. You have to earn Jannah with your siyam. And then the third way to earn Jannah, but no ordinary Jannah, but the Jannah of al-ghuraf, is to feed others. وَأَطْعَمَ الطَّعَامِ, to feed others. We, alhamdulillah, in the month of Ramadan, we're feeding 70, 80 people every day in the masjid. We as individuals, we're feeding our neighbors and our friends and sharing food nationally and internationally. So we need to continue with those people that are homeless, those people who have no home, those people who have no food, those people who are struggling and going to food banks here nationally and also internationally, to continue to serve those people and to feed those people. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam would mention that whenever you make soup, then make sure you add additional water in there. Not just to dilute it, no, so that you can give that soup to your neighbors, whether they are Muslim neighbors or non-Muslim neighbors. But sharing food is a core and essential part of taking care of humanity. And this is one of the beautiful characteristics. With siyam, with kalam, and ta'am, you'll be able to receive the ghuraf, which is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the final thing the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned in that particular hadith is وَصَلَّى بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامٌ, to pray during the night whilst everyone else is sleeping. Not just the fara'id. The fara'id are compulsory that we have to pray. But this is in addition to the fara'id, that you stand up and you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla reminds us in the Quran, تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ أَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفٌ وَطَمَعًا وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِكُونَ, that these people, they are restless at night. They are tossing and turning at night. Why? Not because they can't sleep, because they are thinking whether they will be alive tomorrow or not. They are thinking whether they'll enter into Jannah or they'll be going into the fire of hell. It is this thing that keeps them awake. Not keeps them awake because they have to go to work or they have to worry about other worldly matters. They are worrying about the hereafter. This is what causes them to constantly flip their sides. And then they wake up as a result of this. تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ. And then يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفٌ وَطَمَعًا. Then they call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the middle of the night, asking Allah Azza wa Jal out of fear, out of awe, out of pardon and mercy, that, oh Allah, forgive us. Oh Allah, enter us into the gardens of paradise. Oh Allah, bring us closer to you. And these are the people who give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as I mentioned, the 10% post-Ramadan plan, this is part of that plan of just praying 2 rak'at, whether it is in the morning of duha, whether it is in the evening after Isha, or tahajjud or qiyamul layl. Be from those people who are praying in the night when everyone else is sleeping. You stand up and you stand forth and قُمِ اللَّيْلَ, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us furthermore in the Quran, كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ وَبِالْأَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. That these are the true people who used to sleep very little. Not the 8 hours or the 10 hours or na'uz billah, the 12 hours that our youngsters sleep. They used to sleep just enough for them to get through the day. And they used to stand up and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the night. And you should do tawbah and istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala profusely. So these are the 4 beautiful characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And subhanallah, we have been doing all 4 of these in the month of Ramadan. We have been attaining taqwa for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have been being patient for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have been nice towards each other in our kalam during the month of Ramadan. Why? Because we know that that person who argues and fights and disputes, he has no Ramadan, he has no fast, Allah has no need for it. So we were the best in our speech in Ramadan. We must continue outside the month of Ramadan. We were fasting, we must continue fasting outside the month of Ramadan. We were praying Taraweeh and Tahajjud, we must continue with our capacity outside the month of Ramadan. And we were feeding other people, we must continue this outside of Ramadan. And by doing these four things, then we will have أُولَٰئِكَ يُجْزَوْنَ الْغُرْفَةَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا وَيُلَقَّوْنَ فِيهَا تَحِيَّةً وَسَلَامًا. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to achieve the lofty mansions and palaces in Jannah, and for us to be from those people whom He loves, and to become those people of Ibadur Rahman. وَأَقُولِكَ وَلِهَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ جَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا.